Yeah.
Okay, AGP video, we are ready to get started. Good afternoon. This is the regular meeting of the Zone 3 Water Advisory Board. This is a meeting on Thursday, May 15th, 2014. Call this meeting into order. And we'll do a roll call.
Member Talley.
Here.
Member Lucy.
Here.
Member Barnage.
Here.
Member Wallace.
Here.
Member Nichols.
Here.
Member Gehring.
Here.
Vice Chair Vardis.
Here.
Excellent. We have a quorum.
Okay. Next on the agenda is public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda. Do we have any public comment? Please step up to the podium. The microphone is already on.
Hi,
just state your name first.
My name is Ken Kliss, and I represent some parcel owners out by Lopez Lake. We're in opposition of a pending access easement that is coming down the works. Two large parcels were just purchased. It was about 375 acres near where we are, and the applicants have been fairly optimistic they're going to get an easement through our current access road out there, and it's through Zone 3 property. That's why I'm here tonight. We oppose the easement request for, we got about 8 reasons. I can cover them real briefly. The parcel was sold disclosed at the time of the sale that there was no access and there probably never would be access from the prior owner. The lands are on a sensitive resource area, and they're in line of sight of the Lopez Lake campers. It's a very steep parcel. Slopes on there 100% in certain areas, and most of it is over 70%. There's no trails, roads, or usable land on those parcels. And I think if Zone 3 starts allowing access on parcels that have been landlocked and do not have access, it could set a bad precedent for a lot of other parcels there in Santa Margarita and other areas as well. Right now there's 3 people that live back there. The reason we have access is during the condemnation in the 1960s, we were on record and through the court documents given that specific right. These parcels were not given that specific right, and they're trying to piggyback onto that access. It's a road that's pretty rough. It's a steep, narrow road. It's very dangerous, and by adding 2 more parcels to a 3-parcel road, I don't think it would be very safe for us that are out there right now. One of the people the 2 persons that made the purchase, and one of them is specializing in steep and constrained parcel construction as well. He stated to me that he just wants to hike and camp out there, but he may have other intentions. I'm not sure. He's also stated that our current access road touches his parcel, but it's his parcel is actually hundreds of feet away on a 100% slope. And it's also directly visible from a sacred Chumash site, according to one of my Chumash friends. So we're the Clapboard Canyon Resident Coalition, the 3 people that live out there. The easement request is made by Castaneda and Kimball, who just purchased the land, I think, 4 or 5 months ago. And I got tons of details. If anybody's interested, I can leave a couple copies here or pass them around.
Why don't you just pass them to Mr. Diodati, and he could share that with the board. Well, sir, I think, you know, usually it's about a 3-minute allotment. Do you have any final remarks?
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any other members of the public that wish to speak as part of public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the next portion of the agenda, which is meeting minutes of March 20th, 2014. Are there any questions on those minutes? I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Next thing on the agenda is the operations report, and we'll start with water plant operations.
Joe
Phillips.
Okay.
Joe Phillips will be giving this report from Public Works.
Thank you. My name is Joe Phillips. I'm with the Public Works Department.
Lopez Water Plant. At a lake elevation today of 493.30. We had storage in acre feet, 26,933. We had a capacity of 54.7%. Rainfall to date is 8.85 inches. Our plant production is 4.0 MGD, million gallons per day. Filter turbidity range is 0.01 to 0.02. Terminal reservoir visibility is at 16 feet right now. Downstream release is 2.5 million gallons per day, Lopesta Creek. And the state water flow right now is 0.7 million gallons per day, 700,000 gallons a day.
Anything else for your report?
No issues. Plant's running straight and normal.
Does the board members have any questions for our speaker? Any other items to note?
No, sir.
Thank you very much for your report. Okay, next on the agenda is the budget. This is the third quarter budget status. Mr. Diodati.
Jennifer Colvard from our department will be giving this report.
Hi. For the record, my name is Jennifer Colvard with County Public Works Department. Attached in your packets is a copy of the third quarter report for 13-14. In total, expenses were 35% under budget. And in your handouts, there are three graphs. The first graph is for routine operations and maintenance. As of the third quarter, there is about a 12% savings, approximately $280,000. And the majority of this is savings in labor. There's two positions, one water systems worker where there was an unexpected early retirement, and the water systems superintendent who has been reallocated for departmental needs to other divisions. For the second chart, you'll see non-routine operations and maintenance. This is mostly, the savings is approximately 78%, and which equates to about $260,000, and the majority of this is HCP and pigging, and I believe these efforts are still underway, and we do expect that to increase, some of those costs to increase for the fourth quarter. And then the last chart is for capital outlay. And as of the third quarter, there's approximately $676,000 in savings, or 88%. This is made up of all of our capital projects. And there's four projects that make up the majority of this savings. It's the perimeter fencing project, the Lopez turnout SCADA system, the membrane filtration module, addition, which I believe that there's been progress on that, but we just not have paid the vendor yet, so the costs just aren't in the project yet. And the sixth rack filtration module, which I believe we are in negotiations with, but Dean will touch on the projects a little bit further. And that's all I have for the third quarter report, but this does kind of blend into something that has been asked with previous meetings about project costs. So I put together a table that I'd like to go over with your advisory group, and we can discuss, and you can tell me what you like, don't like, what you'd like to see more of.
That sounds great. Thank you.
So usually when we discuss the budgets, we're looking at a one-year snapshot of projects, but as we all know, projects run multiple years. And this is an attempt to bring the costs to show total project budget costs. So if you look in the very first column in the green section, budget to date versus actual, that first column, total project budgeted to date, that's multiple years previous. That's everything we've budgeted until 13-14 for each of these individual projects. And then I added in costs. So we've got prior year costs in the second column. And then the reason I split those out with the current year is because those tie into what we talk about in the quarterly reports when we're looking at that one-year window. So I wanted to break that out for you. And then with the total and then what's left. And then in the next section, what you see is projected future budgets for those projects. And obviously, as budgets change and as we go further, that blue section obviously is going to change and would be presented to boards, you know, for the budget processes, but for the advisory group and our board. So does anybody have any questions on this? Is there anything you'd like to see more of? Or
Mr. Wallace?
Just to thank you for breaking out the previous cost to date, mm-hmm. which gives us more of a complete picture on the overall cost of a project. So thank mm-hmm. you for providing the information. It's good.
You're welcome. You will notice if you were to look at the quarterly reports, because I know some of you are probably going to pick up on this. If you look on our actual spend to date versus the capital outlay, when the chart for capital outlay, that third handout, the numbers are slightly off, and the only reason for that is because one of the projects that was budgeted in capital was actually spent in operations and maintenance, and that's just it's a purchasing requirement for thresholds when we buy miscellaneous smaller items. It was that $25,000 for equipment replacement. It was budgeted in capital, but when we buy smaller materials, the way that our auditor's office requires us to purchase certain things, it's more logistics. But it is buried in the first table. So if you had questions on that, I'd be happy to discuss that with you.
Jennifer, I had another question. The environmental HCP, I'm not quite sure what that is with respect to the major part of the HCP project that we're spending money on, because this only shows $135,000 versus the $1 million that we've already spent.
This is an older project that was budgeted, I believe, back before 2006. It was the very early on stages. And this has just been carried forward as kind of a placeholder in case we needed to spend that. I don't think so. That $40,000, that $15,000 that was spent, that was several years back. It's still an open project on our books, but that's not how we're spending the full amount of that HCP. We also have another bucket of money that's in the non-routine that isn't on this chart, so maybe I would add that the way I have the pigging. It's not budgeted in capital. The money that Mark Hutchison and I work on now comes out of non-routine, but it's budgeted differently than how we budget for the pigging projects, because those are included in that $550 cap that we have for capital. So that's why I included that for non-routine on here. But the HCP costs are budgeted separately. They're not included in that $550. But I could put that on here. But what you're asking about for the environmental, that's just another bucket of money that's been on the books for that we haven't necessarily closed and dropped down to kind of the reserves at this point. We're still keeping it in case it's needed.
Well, I'm not sure how you're categorizing it, but I think we get asked a lot by our boards and so forth. Uh-huh. As to how much the HCP has cost us to date. So
I'd be happy to put that on here.
Do you want to add that to the chart or have a separate table for it? It just would be, I think, a good picture for the overall HCP cost.
Mr. Hutchison, do you have a comment regarding this?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mark Hutchison, Public Works. I just wanted to comment that I, too, have seen that number and have also seen that amount in the master cost accounting for the HCP under a capital projects charge code versus the other format that we use. And I've started asking questions to try to track down the intent of that, what it was for, and where the $15,000 went. So I think it is in the total number that we work with, the $1.5 million. But why it's broken out that way is a subject for some review on my part. Although I would point out that, not to embarrass Jennifer, but this listed here is environmental HCP.
Oh, did I spell it wrong?
Well, we knew what it meant.
It's French.
If that's the worst thing I put on here, then I'll be happy with that.
Any other questions for Ms. Colvard from the board members? Do you have anything else, ma'am?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you for your report.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay, next on the agenda is an information item in regards to HCP status. Mr. Hutchinson, are you going to cover this item?
Yes, I will. For the record, Mark Hutchinson, Public Works again. As you may recall, we're engaged in a request for proposal process to select a hydrogeologic firm to support the HCP process moving forward. That request for proposals closed about an hour and a half ago, so I don't have a report from our purchasing division as to exactly how many proposals they did get. There have been a small number, 5 to 6 inquiries from firms that we know to be well qualified, and most of those have indicated an intent to give us a proposal. Because this is a wide-ranging request, also on our purchasing website, we expect there may be more than just the ones that I'm aware of. I did include in your package then the process for selection that you have previously approved. Mine is nicely in color. But we are in the first column to the left. We've gone through the RFP process, or the request process, so we're in the second column, which has my purchasing division and then my staff reviewing the proposals to make sure they meet the basic qualifications and requirements, both of the firm and then also the format of the proposals. The TAC is aware of the process and will be by their next meeting, if not before, appointing a lead person to represent the TAC on the review panel, and we'll be starting on that work. I would expect at least at the county staff level within the week, next week, that is, and then I hope to be back at your advisory commission at your next meeting in 2 months for the full report on the status of those efforts.
Okay. Is that it?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you. I have a question. When reading the staff report, I got the impression that you switched from a two-step RFQ to RFP to straight to an RFP process where you're requesting that the firms interested in submitting a proposal to include not only their qualifications but a scope and budget. Is that correct?
Yes. I think at our last meeting 2 months ago, I had a little bit more of an extensive report on that. But
okay.
We have new and very enthusiastic staff in the County Purchasing Division, and they suggested that we switch from the RFQ that the Advisory Committee discussed to an RFP. My initial concern was a little bit relieved when I met with them, and the process they described, other than the title, is exactly the process that was discussed amongst the Advisory Committee and the TAC. We had built in the option of requesting cost and refined scope and budget from more than one consultant, so we had that two-option perspective, and we felt like and reported to your advisory committee at your last meeting that it was important to keep this thing moving forward. So we changed the title without telling my purchasing division that they really hadn't changed anything and moved forward with the selection process. I have not gotten comments from any of the consultants that there's any issues with that process, because what it does is it requires them to do a bit more work before the final round to get a detailed cost estimate and a more detailed scope. So we would have that from 2 to 3 firms rather than just the single top-ranked firm.
Thank you for that. Probably helps with the comparative analysis between the different firms, so not only you have the qualifications, but the scope and cost as well.
Right, certainly. I mean, our initial concern was that we might scare some consultants away, you know, in a bad economy if they had to put more of their cost and money into the proposal process. But based on the response I got, there's several firms that are very much interested in this and don't seem to have a problem with putting the effort in to take it all the way to the full proposal stage.
And being that it's pretty kind of a complex project, that there probably would be an opportunity for the top-ranked firm who's selected to go through, work with county staff on refining their scope and cost if necessary.
Certainly, and that's a normal part of the process. And if you'll recall what we did in the request for proposals, we left intact the part from the RFQ where we focused in on the three primary tasks, listed other things as potential optional tasks because we wanted the consultants to really focus on those three things. So for them to do a cost, a scope, and a budget for those three key tasks is also more efficient. And then if the other tasks are required and everyone's satisfied with their work, then we can do adjustments down the road.
Great, thank you. Any questions from Mr. Hutchinson from our board members? Comments?
I just have one comment. Mark, would it be difficult to add a schedule to the proposal process that you show on the flowchart at some point?
Oh, you mean where we are in the actual selection
where
process?
Where we are in the selection process and just a projection out in either the number of months or timing or whatever it might be.
Yeah, certainly. I think once we have the proposals in front of us and the review committee has had a chance to do a once through, then it shouldn't be difficult for that committee to then figure out what our schedule is going to be, because this does involve meetings of the committee, presentations from the consultants, which is going to take a lot of planning. So I would imagine that the review group is going to want to have those scheduled well in advance.
Good, thank you.
Can you give us any sense, just in very general terms, of what the schedule in your mind is right now on this?
I'm a little bit hesitant because we've engaged the TAC in some more immediate issues that we'll discuss here shortly. So I would be kind of committing their time as to how fast they could do this. But I want to say that for a project of this size, we usually get a contract in front of our board in about the four-month time frame. We may run another couple of weeks beyond because we're going to want to bring this back to the advisory committee in a presentation format with the top-ranked consultant before we go to our board and get your recommendation and any modifications that you feel are necessary to the scope. But it's always an intent to get the HCP back on its feet and moving forward, with some degree of intent to finish it. Although, on the other hand, the chance to build in the results of the climate over the last 3 years into the modeling is something we don't want to miss either. But hopefully we're back here. I don't think we can be back in 2 months with a full report, presentation, recommendation, but a four-month target, which is just two meetings out for your committee, is very much a good target.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you. We'll move on to the next item, which is the capital projects update. Mr. Diodati.
And Dean Benedict from Public Works, can you give a brief overview of where we are?
Dean Benedict, Utilities Division Manager, County Public Works. We're actively working on five capital projects. The membrane filter module addition, which Jennifer mentioned, has been completed. It was completed first week of this month, and it was successfully done. That project's finished and under budget. The sixth rack, one additional rack that we want to add, that's consuming most of our time now. There's a lot of little components that have to go together to purchase a filtration rack from a company and then have it all integrated into the space that's provided that's not fully ready to plug in. We've got to do some construction work to make that adapted. The contract and agreement to buy that equipment is being reviewed by our county council and our consultant, Paul Corporation, now, and we'll be taking that to the board probably in the next 3 or 4 months to get that set up so that we can have that equipment manufactured, and we're doing a parallel construction contract for the installation of that equipment. So we were hoping to probably have that functional by next summer. That's kind of our target at this point. The security fencing project, which is about half of the existing perimeter fence that now does not have a 6-foot-high barbed wire fence, we're doing half of that at a time, roughly, and we're going to the board to do the first half of that next Tuesday, and bids will be due back in June, and hopefully we have enough money, we believe, to be able to do that full first half of the project. So that should be finished fairly quickly. The SCADA turnout project is consuming the sort of the rest of our time available because it deals with a lot of communications and it deals with radio signals at specific points where our valves or our meters happen to be. And we're having some difficulty getting our arms around that to figure out how we put a 20-foot antenna on a street corner where Pismo Beach is now taking all the overhead lines out. We want to put a 20-foot antenna up. So there's those type of things that we're trying to work with. We hope to get our arms around that and get a direction so we can talk about that at the TAC, get everything nailed down so we could move forward and get that construction contract put together for that. The project we are not working on right now is a pigging project from the Lopez plant basically down into Royal Grande, Joe. Is that how far we're going? It's a large 33-inch line that involves dumping a lot of water and dumping a lot of water with what's it called, a biofilm, the film inside the pipe. So we anticipate that's going to be a couple of years off. That project was sort of pushed behind the sixth rack and the additional module project. So we anticipate that we'll be getting back to that after we get this sixth rack project online and moved along. So those are the five active projects that we're working on now. And I'll take any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Benedict. Any questions for our speaker?
No.
Seeing none, thank you for the report. Okay, next on the agenda is proclamation of water conservation during drought. Mr. Diodati.
Thank you. John Diodati with Public Works. This was an item requested by your advisory committee at the last meeting to be brought back as a resolution or proclamation that your members could bring back to your member agencies and demonstrate that there's an effort of water conservation within Zone 3. So I put this together based on modeled a little bit after some recent proclamations that I researched and then added three soft therefores for your advisory committee to encourage education and awareness within each member agency's community, advise all member agencies to implement water conservation within their communities, and attain to achieve Governor Brown's goal of a 20% reduction in potable water usage. So what I'm asking of your advisory committee today is either adopt this as is. If you'd like to make some changes, you could make changes and adopt it, or even ask me to bring it back if you want to change it radically. So I'll leave it up to you.
Thank you for that. Any questions or edits on this item?
I guess I'd rather have it go back to TAC. I don't think they've seen it.
So you want it to be vetted through the TAC before it comes back to us and then come back to us?
Yeah. Just a thought.
Okay.
Because I don't think they've seen it.
That's correct. It did not go through the TAC.
Any disagreement with that?
No, just a comment, John. I think one of the comments made at one of the previous meetings was, does the county have an accumulation of the different flyers and so forth that have gone out to our member agencies and maybe some good examples that we don't have to reinvent the wheel? If you guys have collected those examples, it would be nice to if you could pass those along to us, please.
Okay.
And, you know, not to indicate what the TAC might come up with, but all of the agencies are actively engaged in water conservation measures, and it might be wise to have some mention of that in this proclamation.
No problem.
That's a good point. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Ms. Lucy?
I was just wondering if, as we go through this drought, hopefully we go through it, if there's a way that we can add things on that we've noticed or you understand, like for example, how we water our parks and stuff, you know. Some cities might be doing it one way, some cities might be doing it another way. And how would we be able to implement some of those strategies? Maybe have it revisited in 6 months, 9 months, or something like that.
I'm sure we'll be talking about this on for the most of the summer and into the fall. So, yeah, this will be a continual conversation, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. So the direction is that this will be brought to the TAC for review, and they may make some edits to that, and then it will be brought back to the advisory board at the next meeting for endorsement or?
Adoption, sure.
Adoption, yeah.
That sounds excellent.
All right. Moving on to the next item, this is in regards to surplus water.
And Dean Benedicts will be handling this item for us, along with Mark Hutchinson. Maybe Mark will be going first.
Yes, members of the advisory committee, for the record, Mark Hutchinson again. I suppose I should point out that on the last item, the report for me was labeled environmental programs manager, and this one is labeled deputy director. So the grand total time frame of 2 weeks, I was the big news in public works, and now I'm not.
Good for you.
Annually, pursuant to the water supply contracts that your member agencies have with Zone 3 of the Flood Control District, the county staff calculates something that's called surplus water. It should be a straightforward calculation. And the simple terms, what we do is we look at how much water was delivered from the Lopez Lake in the previous water year, April 1st to March 31st. How much water was released downstream, and how much water went down the pipeline. That's then compared to the already calculated and agreed upon safe yield number. That number comes from the size of the dam and its watershed and many years of hydrologic information. And it's simply safe yield is the amount of water that a particular project can produce on a year-over-year basis through wet winters and dry summers. So for the Lopez system, the safe yield number is 8,730 acre feet. We have water supply contracts that total 4,530 acre feet. And there's a reservation of the difference of 4,200 acre feet to be released for downstream uses. So at the end of the water year, we see how much water was delivered, how much was released, compare the difference to the 8,730. That number becomes surplus water. Up until about 5 years ago, the public works director would do that calculation, show the calculation to the TAC, I believe, bring it to the advisory committee, and then take it to the Board of Supervisors for their approval. And then the contracts specify how that water is paid for and delivered. And all the details if one agency takes it and another one doesn't and all of that sort of thing. It was determined about 5 years ago that there hadn't been a surplus water determination for more than 1 year. Of course, I've been looking back into the history to find out why that was, and I think the answer was from the old-timers was, well, we didn't have any surplus water in those days. I don't know if we did or didn't. But they did some math and determined that, yes, in the previous year there was surplus water, and it was not declared and wasn't made available to the agencies. So the board did two things. They said, let's take 2 years' worth of surplus water and make that available. Seems to be the appropriate thing. And let's shorten this process, have the public works director do the calculation, take it to the advisory committee to check the numbers with the TAC, and then deliver the water. And the board suggested that that would be for 1 year. And then for reasons, again, that I'm still trying to figure out, that methodology was carried forward, and we find ourselves here today with a difference of opinion between the district staff and the representatives of the technical advisory committee about exactly how much surplus water is available and how do the contracts tell you to determine that number. Before I go there, I want to back up to just one point. Our public works director has determined with consultation with the CAO that we will need to take the determination of surplus water to the Board of Supervisors for reasons that may sound complex, but it's essentially this. The board has adopted a drought proclamation, and we are talking about surplus water. So there appears to be potentially a conflict between the board's drought proclamation and the board's delegation of authority. Then we look into the contracts and realize that the board has the authority within the contracts to make adjustments to the safe yield of the reservoir, which is at their discretion and presumably based on solid evidence. So it is the practice of the county that if there's any conflict or any issue with overstepping staff's bounds, then especially the board's discretion, we take that to the board. And in so doing, we discussed and with the TAC that we would need to be very open about the information that we were basing this on, because the term surplus water has some connotations that may sound inconsistent with the drought, when in fact it really isn't. And it was in trying to develop all that information that we started running into differences of opinion and stuff. And those are somewhat reflected in your staff report. So bottom line is this. I direct your attention to, I believe it's page 20 out of something here in your packet. You have a recommendation from the staff that's two parts, a 1A, a 1B, and then also a recommendation 2. So I want to let you look at what the staff has written in the staff report, and there's discussion there about the different ways to calculate surplus water and whatnot. And the basic staff recommendation is continue the review to allow the opportunity for staff to develop protocol for drought conditions. However, after discussing it with the TAC, your technical advisors and water system operators, public works directors, and their perspective on the last 7 years and the protocol of how this was done, they've offered an alternate recommendation, and I want to read that into the record. And then at some point, we have our public works directors here from your agencies who want to comment. So in place of A and B, the TAC would recommend that you adopt this. The Zone 3 Advisory Committee recommends that the Board of Supervisors declare surplus water for water year 2014-15 in the amount of 2,327 acre-feet in recognition of the need to offset reduced groundwater pumping and reduced state water deliveries by up to 750 and 1,696 acre-feet, respectively. So the TAC has pointed out, and they may have some discussion and adjustments, 2,327 acre-feet. I would point out that for 5 years running, if we look across the reservoir at 5 years, the difference between the total safe yield and the total amount delivered and released is 2,327 acre-feet. So that's the amount of additional water that is in the reservoir based on the calculations that we've done. So that water physically is there. And so the TAC is saying, based on the process, the methodology that's been used the last 4 to 5 years, I believe, that's the number that should be generated. And I point out that in discussions at the TAC, we identified the rough numbers of 750 and 1696 as being what's being reduced last year from groundwater pumping. And they can elaborate on that if you'd like. And also the potential for reduced state water deliveries if there's only 5% next year. Then I want to point out recommendation number 2 that I think the TAC and the staff are in full agreement on, is that we work on developing the details of the low reservoir response plan, which is an adopted document from 2008-2009, and that we proceed in coordination with establishing protocols for use of surplus water during the drought condition. A little bit of background on that. That's a document that has a trigger number. It says right in it that if the reservoir is at 20,000 acre-feet or lower on April 1st of any year, that there's a set of actions, no numbers attached to it, but it's essentially a process for determining how to manage the reservoir in succeeding years. And I need to direct your attention back to a previous item, the operations report, I believe, and I'll give you a page number here. Page 8 in your packet, 8 of 26. And you have this graph that looks like this. And this is a projection that our data management staff have been doing for some time now. There's a solid line. Mine's green, yours may be gray. A solid line, and then it hits some vertical bars and starts going to a dashed line. The solid line and everything to the left is actual reservoir volume, measured volume. So today's date, or in this case, March 1st. And then the blue bars are average rainfall. That is for the period of 1993 through 2011. And then the dashed line is how the reservoir would be expected to respond if we had average rainfall. Our data folks were engaged in some important work for the past 2 weeks, so they couldn't get to this graph, but we've asked them, and I asked them specifically, what if you take the average rainfall out and plug in last year's rainfall, or the average of the last 2 years or the last 3 years' rainfall, instead of 93 to 2011? They did a rough calculation and said you could be at 20,000 acre feet by December 1st of this year. That's supported by some numbers we looked at this morning. There is a stream gauge upstream of Lopez Reservoir on Lopez Creek, operated by the U.S. Geological Survey. It's been there since 1967. It's one of three major creeks that feed the reservoir. We know that Wittenberg Creek is currently dry, and I'll be sending folks out to double check Arroyo Grande Creek. It will soon cease inflow if it has any. But the point is that gauge is recording 1.7 cubic feet of flow on Lopez Creek. The lowest number ever recorded at that gauge in 1990 was 1.6 CFS, and that was a late summer reading. So we expect that the inflow through this summer and fall is going to be probably one of the lowest numbers on record. So the TAC looked at not that recent number, but all of the others, and said, well, we can't depend on an El Nino this winter necessarily, so let's get to work on the details of the low reservoir response plan. And so that's the second recommendation, is to move that forward and then potentially bring back a discussion and potential recommendations for enacting some of the triggers, although, as you've noted, your agencies are already operating in conservation mode. So this would just be a bit more evidence for our communities in the South County as to why conservation is important. So what you have is a recommendation that's in the staff report, and then you have an alternate recommendation. I hope I've explained why that is, from the Technical Advisory Committee. I think everyone would encourage your committee, your advisory committee, to take action at this meeting so that we can move on to the board with your recommendation and additional information from the TAC. We've scheduled another meeting for next week so that we can tell a full and complete and well-documented story at the board and get the surplus water declaration made so that the operations folks can operate your water systems as efficiently as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. So before we open up to comments and specifically have Mr. Fine and Mr. Ray speak on this item, I'll give an opportunity for the board members to ask any questions.
I think we ought to hear from some of the agencies first and then maybe come back with questions after that.
Okay. So Mr. Fine or Ray, whoever wants to go first.
Thank you. Also, Mr. English is here from City of Arroyo Grande, and I'm sure he wishes to speak on this item too. First off, you know, I want to say, Mr. Hutchinson, well, actually, before I even say that, I'd like to thank Mr. Hutchinson for his work with the TAC. He's pointed out there's disagreement on some things. However, he's been definitely more than amicable and very easy to work with, and congratulations on your new position. Sorry, it got outshined. If you look at page 21 of 26 of your agenda, the second line, third line, time is not of the essence. I want to stress to you that time is of the essence. That one of the problems that we have if surplus water is declared too late is the capacity of the pipeline to deliver it. So it's really important that we get this moved forward and figured out rather quickly. Secondly, I'd like to point out that surplus water is an absolutely terrible name. It's basically unused entitlement. Mr. Hutchinson touched on this. Terrible name. It shouldn't be called surplus water. Here we are in a drought, and we're saying we have surplus water. No, what we're saying is we have water that we didn't use last year. So that's important to understand. And I apologize. There we go. So Mr. Hutchinson had touched on the fact that discrepancies on the way that this surplus or carryover water is calculated. One important thing to realize is that the cities, not just the city of Pismo Beach, but all Zone 3 agencies, use this water as part of their water planning strategy and their water use strategy. So the way that it's been calculated last year and the year before is the way, and the year before that, is the way that we strategized and planned our water use for last year. So, you know, I guess we're really not going into the difference of the contract and getting into that, but it's important to realize that the county has a past practice of declaring surplus water by a certain formulation. We planned our water use strategy based on that formulation, and how much water we chose to use and how much water we chose to carry over was based on that calculation. Mr. Hutchinson touched on the contract that it does allow for reduction in delivery, and I want to point out to you guys that's absolutely true. That's a reduction for delivery of this current water year. The water we're talking about right now is last water year. It's water that we didn't use last year, and that's carried over to this year. For the city of Pismo Beach, and the same holds true for other agencies, not so much with regard to state water, but our water portfolio is made up of state water, Lopez water, and the Santa Maria groundwater basin. So we get our allocation from state water is 1,100 acre feet a year. Initial delivery of state water was set to zero, as I'm sure you're all aware, and then it was increased to 5%. So 5% of 1,100 is 55 acre feet. We also have a drought buffer of on 1,240 acre feet that we can get. That brings our total state water delivery to 117 acre feet. With our Lopez delivery of 896, and our allocation from the Santa Maria groundwater basin of 700 acre feet, with just that water supply, that's a total of 1,713 acre feet. Our typical production is 2,100 acre feet, so there's a deficit. We are very fortunate. We have some, unfortunately called surplus again, surplus state water, stored state water, if you will, that we have stored in San Luis Reservoir, and we can draw on that, and we do plan on drawing on a portion of that stored water. However, in the past years, going back to 2009, we've only pumped about 39 to 40, high 40s acre feet per year. So far this year, or so far this month, we've already pumped over 30 acre feet.
And that's pumped in groundwater?
Pumped out of the ground, yes. Okay. And the reason why I point this out is the basin, the level of the basin has been declining. And our fear, the water agencies, is saltwater intrusion. So we have this basin, it's the groundwater basin, that we all draw from. And it's not just the agencies, it's the farmers that draw from this basin. And then we have the lake that we draw from as well. If something happens to the lake, we draw too much water out of the lake, the lake will recover rather quickly. As soon as we get a good rain, it'll fill up. Fish will die, and that's unfortunate, but the lake will fill up. If we tax the groundwater basin and we get saltwater intrusion, nobody gets water. Farmers get nothing at all. Most farmers rely on the groundwater basin solely. So once there's saltwater intrusion, there's no farming. Municipalities lose a large share of their water supply. And it'll take years, if not decades, to repair the groundwater basin, if at all, once it's been damaged by the saltwater. By declaring surplus Lopez water, again, terrible name, carryover water, every drop of water delivered from Lopez is a direct reduction of water that's pumped out of the basin. So on initial calculations, Pismo's share, for example, would be around 400 acre feet, which would be 400 acre feet less that we would pump. That would bring our pumping down from 700 acre feet to 287 acre feet, which is huge. So Mr. Ray and Mr. English will elaborate more, and they'll get into specifics of their agencies, I'm sure. But what I want to stress to you is that this carryover water, we planned for it in our last water year. So as we were planning our last water year, knowing we're in a drought, we chose to use certain water from different allocations to make this water available for this year. Without this water, there's a real fear that there could be damage done to the basin, to the groundwater basin. So I thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, you can ask me now, or you can ask me later after the other two speak.
Why don't we wait until after the other two speakers?
Thank you.
I think I'll keep it simple since Mr. Fine has touched on most of the important topics. I'm Greg Ray. I'm a TAC representative for the city of Grover Beach. I also sit on the Northern Cities Management Area Advisory Committee, and I'm the Public Works Director, so I work with Mr. Gehring, actually, to manage the city's water supply and distribution system. Mr. Hutchinson has pointed out a couple of key items that were brought up and discussed rather heatedly at the TAC. I also would like to commend Mr. Hutchinson for his ability to remain calm in the heat of a, what was a very lively arguments and set of arguments and discussions. And basically, there's a couple of things in front of you. As the City of Grover Beach's technical advisor, I'm going to stick to technical details. And in this case, as I read the contract, I would simply do the simple math of unused entitlement water and water not released downstream versus the safe yield of the lake, and I would come up with a number around 2,700 acre feet, slightly less than that, available to be declared a surplus. And then I would simply read the contract, and it would say that each year the district will make surplus water available for purchase by the agencies. And as Mr. Fine pointed out, that's in fact what we've done. We've purchased that water and used it as part of our water portfolio in the past. I however, will agree that the TAC as a group sort of agreed to disagree, and that is that we need to move forward. This time is very critical. We can only deliver the water from the Lopez pipeline so fast, and we need to get as much as we can to the agencies to alleviate groundwater pumping. And so, in the interest of moving forward as quickly as possible, we agreed to disagree on the methodology for now and are recommending that some number slightly over 2,000 acre feet be identified for sale to the agencies for use as surplus at this time, and that we would come back to the table and hash out the details at future TAC meetings and ultimately here at the advisory meeting. We'd like to touch on a couple of items that have been mentioned and maybe just add a little bit of an exclamation point to that. The Northern Cities Management Area is an active group that manages the groundwater basin, which supplies groundwater to all the local agencies here, as well as farmers and some other private properties that have wells. We use a series of wells called the Key Wells. There's three of them that are located near shore. And those wells, the levels in them have been shown to be indicative of the potential for saltwater intrusion. So we keep an eye on those well levels, and we've established a key well index level where we start sounding alarms. We're there. We're at the key well index level, maybe slightly lower. We wouldn't expect to be there this early in the year. So we're not only there, we're there early. And if you look at a couple of the wells near shore, some of them are just barely above sea level, which means salt water is right there somewhere. We don't know where. We don't get to know until we see the first signs of the water quality changing, which fortunately we haven't seen yet. As Mr. Fine pointed out, we cannot afford to have a brackish groundwater basin. We won't be able to pump it for drinking water, for potable use. Farmers won't be able to put it on their crops. It will become unusable, and we don't know for how long. and how long it would take to repair that basin, if it could be repaired. We do know that Lopez has historically, for 44 years, been able to deliver the safe yield and has historically repaired itself every time it's gotten significantly low. I'm a fisherman. I get a little upset when the lake's low, but ultimately it's a water supply source, and we're using it the way it for and the reason it was built and the way it was built, and that is to provide water in times of drought, and especially when we're concerned about the groundwater basin. So I won't bore you with the details of City of Grover Beach's water supply portfolio, but just to say that it's critical that this water be that a portion of water be declared as surplus. We can argue out the fine details later. We need the water as soon as possible. We need to get it delivered and start reducing groundwater pumping.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. And Mr. English, do you wish to speak?
Chair Vargas, members of the advisory board, I'm Jeff English. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Arroyo Grande and also a member of the Technical Advisory Group. I also want to acknowledge Mr. Hutchinson. He was very calm throughout our process yesterday, and I think we came up with a reasonable solution. I'm here tonight to recommend that the advisory body go along with recommending the staff's recommendation for declaration of surplus water from the reservoir for this year. And I'm relatively new to the game, been with the Arroyo Grande for about a year and a half. I know that this issue is very significant to us in that we represent 50% of the ratepayers or users for the water that comes from the reservoir. And so this is an important issue for us. When the other agencies were talking in the hundreds of acre feet, for us it's thousands of acre feet. So it's important for us that this water be available as part of our portfolio, as was mentioned earlier. I'm very impressed with the stewardship that has been shown by the technical advisory group and by your advisory board of the Lopez water over the years. The reservoir is in good shape now, much more than most of the reservoirs throughout the county, and I think that's in part due to the advice and management of the technical advisory group. I wrote a couple things here, and I'm going to duplicate some of the things that were mentioned already, but please bear with me. Zone 3 agencies have worked collectively and cooperatively both through the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee and the NCMA Technical Group to manage water resources with an analytical and long-term approach. Through Zone 3's judicious management of the Lopez Reservoir, water levels remain significantly higher than most other county reservoirs. In fact, the average over the last 5 years, the total water released is more than 2,000 acre feet less than the 5-year safe yield for the same period of time. Zone 3 has been a good steward of the Lake Lopez Reservoir and wanted to commend the technical groups and those people who have provided you with advice over the years. This management approach has also included the aggressive use of water conservation programs, which we talked about earlier, that are put in place by the separate agencies. And I want to say we have been aggressive with our water conservation measures. So that's one of the tools we use, and all the agencies have participated in those efforts. We've also put in place the strategy to use available surplus water to help protect the health of the groundwater basin. As mentioned earlier, there's some concern about the health of the groundwater basin. Surplus water, or more accurately labeled carryover entitlement and unused downstream release, is a water source that supports our effort in this cooperative, holistic approach. As mentioned earlier, the water levels in the NCMA groundwater basin are declining to a point of concern. For every acre of water that we use for surface water, that means 1 acre of acre foot of water that we don't pump out of the ground. And in our case, that use of that 2,000 acre foot of surplus water means 1,000 acres to Arroyo Grande that we wouldn't have to pump out of the groundwater. Zone 3 TAC members believe that the declaration of carryover entitlement surplus water is prudent and necessary as a tool to best manage all of our available water supplies. Thank you for your cooperation and concern.
Jeff, before you leave, the numbers I recall from the meeting yesterday that was basically a settlement number was 2,328 acre feet. Is that your recollection?
We talked about a couple different numbers. I remember coming out of that with 2,100 acre feet, but then the notes we have say 2,300. So I'm going to defer to Mark in terms of the number that we actually came up with at the end of the meeting yesterday.
But
said 2,327 was the amount that what we had determined was the five-year over the 5 years, the amount of water available that was below the safe yield for the same time period. That's what I recall us coming up with at the end of the meeting.
2,327,
correct.
Mr. Hutchinson, the 2,327, that's consistent with the recommendation that the TAC came up with?
Yeah, and Mr. Gehring's correct, too. We passed around a spreadsheet that shows 2,328. Mm-hmm. These were done independently at the county to make sure that we could at least duplicate one number. And so somewhere in there, there's a somebody's rounding up and somebody's rounding down and somebody's not rounding at all. I did want to point out, though, that Mr. Ray from Grover Beach mentioned a number that's quite a bit higher than 2,327.
2,668 using Zone 3's delivery numbers. Again, my reading of the contract is a single year calculation. So it's 4,530 subtracting the amount of entitlement water delivered last year and subtracting the amount of water released downstream last year. Difference between the 4,530 and those two other numbers I mentioned is 2,668. That's how I read the contract.
Right.
As a technical advisor only, though, not as the representative of TAC as a whole.
Right. What I wanted to point out then, as you can see, we're still discussing how exactly do we present this, how do we calculate it, and I wanted to bring that back to the suggested recommendation that I quoted from the TAC. That has a couple of numbers that add up to about 2,446, talks about the shortages. And I think it might be valuable if we, what's the word, went soft on the number, not to be able to reduce it, but so that somebody doesn't get the idea that the advisory committee has said that's what we want for a number. So if there's a way to craft this to say not less than 2,327, or if we go, what I don't want to do is show up in front of the Board of Supervisors and say, all right, everybody's looked at this. Here's you know, what the real number is, quote unquote, and have it different than what you guys have recommended, substantially higher, and have the board say, well, that's fine, but we want to go with the low number.
So it has, let me question. I hear the terms 20. I heard the number 2,600, approximately 2,327, 2,446, and I heard the phrase agree to disagree. Was there any single party that believed that it should be less than 2,327?
Well, that's why we disagree.
So who thinks it should be less than 2,327?
Here's the problem. Past practice, which is a great term. We at the county have about 4 years of past practice that would generate 2,327. Being the new guy on the block going through the contract and trying to duplicate those numbers and then talking with our council, that methodology, which again is sort of immaterial, shows up in the numbers in the 501 range. That's a significant difference. So having your advisory committee, you know, as the TAC is recommended, we need to be at least 2,327.
So if somehow the motion is, the recommendation is that set it at 2,327.
I think if we said not less than 2,327, and then where we had in the recommendation the identification of reduced groundwater pumping and state water deliveries, by rather than saying up to, perhaps in the range of 750 and 1600, again, so that there's an understanding that the advisory committee is not saying this is how much we're going to reduce this, this is how much the state water is. That's there to identify the magnitude of the problem.
Okay. Mr. Fine?
Actually, Mr. Hutchins just touched on it. That 2446 number came from basically making up for the loss of state water for the agencies that get state water, and then the amount of groundwater that the additional groundwater we pumped this year over last year, and that's where that 2446 number came from. But I came up, and Mr. Hutchinson was telling you the same thing. So.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any comments at this point? Any other comments?
No, just to say that our intent is to move this to our Board of Supervisors at the earliest possible time, mm-hmm. And remind the board, based on some calculation method, what sort of additional water is in the reservoir. 2327 over 5 years has been saved, at least. Also that there's 27,000 acre-feet of water in the reservoir, plus or minus at this point. Mm-hmm. That we have Zone 3 communities who are dependent on that water, that they're facing groundwater shortages and state water shortages, and then try to craft methodologies for the board with your recommendations that they can do the best thing with that water in light of contracts and drought declarations.
Sure.
All balancing those things.
Okay. Are there any questions from staff or of staff for our board?
Oh, I have one question. When would it go to the Board of Supervisors, do you think?
I need to get with our county clerk and find out when there's time on the agenda, and then probably maybe push back against some time frames from attorneys and reviewers and whatnot. But we've heard from an operational perspective, we need to get there soon. I would hope within a month, no more.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wallace?
Yeah, Mark, I have a couple comments. I agree that we need to get to the board as quickly as we possibly can. A couple observations. Normally, the declaration of surplus or carryover water has to be made by April 1 of each year. We're a month and a half beyond that. And given the constriction of the pipeline in delivering water, I don't know the calculation. Jim probably knows better than I, but it seems like that even with the additional water that we're talking about here, we're going to have a hard time pushing it through the pipeline given where we are in the water year at the present time. So I don't know what it would take to make this a really high priority item in getting it on the board's agenda, but I would urge you to do that with whatever means you can do that with. Another question or observation. We know we have, I think, 7,000 acre-feet of water in St. Louis reservoirs, carryover water, state water. I don't know how county staff has looked at that in a conjunctive use situation here that might play into the overall strategy on how we use Lopez. I know we only have several state water contractors, but from a conjunctive use in terms of water trades, that might be another strategy that needs to be folded into this. So I know that we've gone back and forth on how much of that carryover water in St. Louis Reservoir we're actually going to get. We thought maybe 50%. The state wrote the letter and said, no, you're going to get all that water that you can. And so we're trying like crazy to use all the state water that we can right now so that we don't get caught short on that carryover water from the state. There's a lot of moving pieces in this puzzle. And I think that given the comments that the agencies have made, I think we can craft a recommendation to the board to talk about the 2327 and perhaps refine that through further discussions with TAC next week as we have this next meeting. And as I suggested, we need some spreadsheets that show the different methods of calculation so that we can have something concrete in front of us so we can say, yeah, that makes sense, or no, it doesn't make sense. But I know that the 2327 is consistent with the way that the county has looked at it for the last 5 years. So I know there may be contractual differences that the attorneys of the county may be concerned about, but I think from a precedent standpoint, that may outweigh the contractual issues. If we need to do something to that, wave the wand and make that happen, I think we need to do it. But anyhow, that's my comments, is that I think we should proceed with the tax recommendation and to urge staff to get this before the Board of Supervisors as quickly as they possibly can.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wallace. Any others want to like to make a comment on this?
I think John's done very well.
Is that a motion, Mr. Wallace?
I'd so move.
Not less than 23.
So we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Just to clarify the motion.
Yeah, I'd like it clarified.
Can we just put that motion on hold for a second?
Sure, let's
and
back up.
Yeah, and I have a thought on how we can make the motion. So, Board Member Lucy?
I guess I'm a little confused because I hear a lot of different stories, I guess, different numbers, different directions, which entity goes first, you know, and ultimately trying to get to the Board of Supervisors as soon as possible. My understanding is that surplus is not supposed to be used as a permanent source of water. It's, you know, state water, Lopez water, and those are considered, you know, part of your portfolio, not a temporary water situation that fluctuates, you know, season to season. And so some entities have diversified their water sources very well, being probably the smallest entity in this collaboration. We encourage everybody to diversify their water in Grover Beach as only two sources of water. And now I hear that we're now using surplus as a permanent source of water. And it's really, it's up to Mother Nature how much, you know, water is going to be released. And so I look at it as more as a temporary thing. My concern is to go to the board with all these fluctuations in numbers, not knowing really how much water you have. You have letters floating out there with different signatures from same cities, different people signing them, and I don't think that that looks very well. You have a group, Northern Cities Management Group, where they're now pushing this agenda as well, and most of us all are participants in Northern Cities, and so it's very, very confusing about what's going on. And so if you're going to go before the Board of Supervisors, I just ask that you have everything in line, everything worked out. Everybody is consistently saying the same thing. Oceano does not believe that we should release any surplus at this time. We've worked really hard to diversify our water source. We've spent a lot of money, and we've paid the price. And I can't say that all of our partners have. I think that there's a lot of things you can do to recoup water, but I still think it's a contradiction to say that there's surplus when you're in the middle of a three-tier drought and half the state's on fire. I just think that it touches almost on a level of arrogance. It doesn't play across well. And so I just strongly encourage you to be on the same page, you know, and if you have part of a body not going along with the plan, then you need to figure out why, because it doesn't look good. It doesn't play out well. If you have the city next door to you taking action, city councils taking actions, other city councils putting it on their agenda, then pulling it off their agenda, we're naive to think that the Board of Supervisors is not watching that. So I don't think you're ready to go to the Board of Supervisors yet. Pismo, I hear your pain. But I do realize that you have 1,200 acre feet sitting over in San Luis Reservoir that you could possibly use until all the details are worked out and you approach the board in a professional way. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Lucy. Mr. Talley, any comments?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to gain clarity on exactly the issue here. I mean, I guess there seems to be a difference of opinion. And is it about the amount of surplus water that might be declared or whether surplus water should be declared right now? or both?
Isn't it? It's the approach and the results of how you calculate that. But Mr. Hutchinson.
Right. At the staff level, it's the method of calculation. And as we've heard, past practice clearly reveals one number. Current interpretation or current opinion of county council yields another. Both of those yield surplus water. That is what it is. There hasn't been a there is, let me say, in the contract, a provision for the board in a drought or a multi-year drought situation to reduce the safe yield, and it's not clear that that actually affects the previous year's surplus because, as pointed out, that's last year's water. And there isn't anything that I'm aware of that would trigger that.
Okay.
And so then I guess the follow-up to that is, so what is the variance, I guess, in the numbers? I mean, at one point I heard you cite a number, maybe I misheard you, of 500 acre-feet of surplus water, and the number that seems to be most consistently used is, I believe, 2327. So is that the variance?
It's actually a little bit greater than that. There's a 500 number and just about 2700 number.
But the 2327, that number is based on previous calculations that have been used.
Well, that number, everybody agrees that over the last 5 years, there's a savings of 2327 in the reservoir.
Okay.
If you use a single-year calculation, which is a valid approach, you're going to get near 2,700. If you do that same calculation and reverse the position of your last year's entitlement and surplus water, you're going to get 501, and that's too complex, I think, for this meeting. But there's the difference in numbers. Past practice is going to yield 2,327 or 2,700. Hence the recommendation, let's say, not less than 2327 from your advisory committee at that.
Okay. Mr. Gehring?
I guess when you're looking at differences between the two, where I would start in thinking about it from the committee's point of view is that if you go back 5 years ago, the method that we're currently utilizing and the method that would result in almost 2,700 acre-feet is the method that was originated 5 years ago by the Director of Public Works of the county. And we stuck to that method up through last year. Now the county's suddenly deciding through an opinion of their attorney that maybe they made a mistake and they want to back up and reverse all that. And that's simply unfair and unreasonable in my view. Moreover, though, that if you polled all the TAC committee members who read the contract in some detail, and I'm one of those, you'd find that unanimously they would say that the method we're operating under and have been operating under for the last 5 years is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. I heard a motion from Mr. Wallace.
I'd like to make comments. Are we before the motion's made?
Well, I've already heard a motion, and I'm not sure if that motion's been retracted. Does a motion stand?
We can discuss it, though, can't we?
Well, we can do it under discussion after the motion's been made. So
that's fine too.
Yeah. So, did I hear a motion?
I did, but if the committee wants to discuss it further, I withdraw the motion until we have those discussions.
Okay. Board Member Barnidge?
That's right. Thank you. I'm ready to move forward and take this to the Board of Supervisors as soon as possible. As Mr. Fine stated, the surplus water is a terrible name, and I would agree. It's basically water that the entities are entitled to that we didn't use, and due to the salt water intrusion, you know, I feel time is of the essence, and I would agree that if we can get this before the Board of Supervisors in the next month, at the latest, hopefully. I'm just looking at my notes. And then I think Mr. Fine or Mr. Inglis mentioned if we have rainfall, the water goes in Lopez Lake instantly. It's right there for us to use. to have it go into the ground, it's going to take a long time for us to get that water back out. So I would much rather have the surplus water delivered so that we can use that versus pumping.
Thank you. Thank you, Board Member Barnidge. Mr. Nichols, any comments?
No, I think all the good points have been made. I concur that we need to move forward with this as quickly as possible. And my thought is I would encourage Mr. Wallace to restate his motion.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols. There's three ways we can do this. One is we can have Mr. Wallace, as he stated before, the motion. Secondly, we could have Mr. Hutchinson recite what that recommendation is from TAC, and we can ask Mr. Wallace to concur with that, that his motion in essence supports that statement, or we can, I think Mr. Fine, we have the technology to do that, we can put it in writing and shoot it up on the screen so all of us see that. So what's your pleasure, Mr. Wallace?
I think we could go to Mark to go ahead and to recite the wording from the TAC. I would add a parenthetical statement at the end of it, but go ahead with it.
All right. This is with the TAC with the two changes that we discussed about the numbers. So the Zone 3 Advisory Committee recommends that the Board of Supervisors declare surplus water for water year 2014, 2015 in an amount not less than 2,327 acre-feet, in recognition of the need to offset reduced groundwater pumping and reduced state water deliveries in the range of 750 and 1,696 acre-feet, respectively.
I would add to that just the definition of surplus water to be unused allocation carryover water in parentheses, so that the board understands where we're coming from on looking at what the definition of it should be, perhaps, and maybe we could look at contractual revisions at some point that express that. And then just as an add-on for my comment, I would urge the staff to, in the Public Works Department, to look at conjunctive use of state water as a way to assist the agencies in managing their water through this drought period that's already been declared by the board and by the state as an emergency. So I think that bears a second emphasis along with the motion that we have on the floor here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wallace. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, Board Member Barnidge. Under discussion, does anyone want to see this in writing tonight? We could take a break for 5 minutes and allow Mr. Hutchinson and Mr. Fine to write this on paper and show it on the screen, or are you guys comfortable with what we've captured?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
No way.
Should
come
out okay.
Well, I have to report back to a body. I can't arbitrarily make decisions, so I do need something in writing to take back to the board.
Okay. Let's we're going to adjourn for 5 minutes, and so that we can just write it down on a piece of paper and shoot it on the screen.
Okay.
Well, we have to, because we don't want to jeopardize that groundwater basin. We don't want to destroy it.
So the proof that people have reduced their groundwater will come back as well?
Well, it's not a requirement of the motion, but
this. You're using it as the argument, as the grounds for the motion.
Okay, so when I. So you're.
This water is replacing unavailable state water.
So then it needs to say that.
Say what?
No, we don't want to. I think let's keep it simple. So, so this meeting is back in order, and we have a motion and a second. And on the screen is an attempt to capture that motion. So under discussion, look to the motion maker to see if he agrees with the proposed edits to the motion.
Yes, that's fine as written.
Does the second agree with these edits?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Under discussion, is there any other comments?
Just one. And I'd like to clarify one thing.
If you go to the gentleman's agreement and review the those allocations under the gentleman's agreement, you find that the what are now the Northern Cities agencies are have entitlements totaling 4,000 acre feet. And I think Miss Lucy is wondering whether this water is going to allow agencies to reduce pumping. And I think my comment was off the record was that they already have. And the illustration to that is that last year the agencies pumped 1,400 acre feet out of 4,000 because they were able to use this type of water last year.
Including the 900 acre feet that Oceanos contributed to that, or is that separate? Because that would make 500 acre feet between the other four entities.
Of the 4,000 acre feet, agencies pumped 1,400.
Right.
So if you take 1,400 from 4,000, that would seem to be around 2,600. So your 900 would be part of that 2,600 that was not pumped.
Okay. I just want to know if it's included.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Thank you, Board Member Lucy. Mr. Diodati, we have a motion and a second, and both of them agree with the proposed edits. Do you want to do a voice vote or roll call? Excuse me.
I just want to check in with Mr. Hutchinson first to make sure he's okay with the language as well.
If I may just offer, in the motion that was just handed out, we need to make sure that it's understood that it's when we declare surplus water from one year and to another year, if we could, after the word for, the end of the second line, for use in the water year 2014-15, that'll make it clear that that's surplus from 13-14.
That's more correct, yes.
That's more correct. Not that the date on the motion would.
Yeah. So
For
use in the water year 14-15.
Would anybody like me to reprint that?
I think we're fine. Motion maker agree?
Yes, thank you.
Second agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Your preference on one more thing, Mr. Hutchinson?
I did want to mention that in the staff report there's a second recommendation for a motion regarding the low reservoir response plan or a recommendation.
We can deal with that in another motion probably.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's do that in a second one. So we'll do a roll call vote.
Okay, no problem. Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Lucy?
No.
Member Barnage?
Yes.
Member Wallace?
Yes.
Member Nichols?
Yes.
Member Gehring?
Yes.
Chairman Vardis?
Yes.
Thank you.
So we have another recommendation from staff. And do I entertain a motion?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, Jim.
And that is to the motion. I'll make the motion. I move that we recommend that the Board of Supervisors work, or is the staff, just do we just direct staff to work on developing the details? How does this work?
For staff and TAC, probably.
Staff and TAC, is that what it's to be?
If the committee wants to just recommend that work on the low reservoir response plan.
Okay.
Proceed.
So I move that we direct staff to work on developing the details of the low reservoir response plan in coordination with establishing protocol for use of surplus water during drought conditions, and that's be developed with the TAC.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, roll call.
Sure. Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Lucy?
I'm going to abstain.
Member Barnage?
Yes.
Member Wallace?
Yes.
Member Nichols?
Yes.
Member Gehring?
Yes.
Chairman Vardis?
Yes. Okay. Last on the agenda is future agenda items. Mr. Diodati?
We are working through the drought items that have been for us the last three meetings and are going to get to the presentation on the sandbar management program as soon as we can.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on that item or questions?
Had a question. John, in the minutes from last time, we talked a little bit about the overhead charge added to vendor purchased items. And Member Gehring requested that the issue be brought back to the TAC meeting. Has that been done?
No, we're going to need to get Mr. Clemens from our finance division to TAC.
Also, a question on the automation specialist position that you're creating. Will that be done in time to assist the county on the SCADA project for the Lopez line?
Potentially. We're working on through the hiring process right now and are hoping we're going to be able to get someone on board in time.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, last item on the agenda is committee member comments. Are there any comments that any of the board members like to make?
Oceano hired a new general manager last night at our meeting. Pavel Ogren will be coming on board as the general manager for Oceano sometime in the very near future.
Congratulations.
Who's Pavo?
So. No, a different one.
Okay, seeing no other comments, this meeting is adjourned.